It's the new level, new devil, right? All of a sudden, if you think about your business as different levels, right? Every time you move up a step, now there's a new thing you got to figure out. And so once you figure out that thing, you move to the next step. Well, pretty soon you're in uncharted territory and it's like the Jesus out of you. And what I've discovered is that there's a fear of success as fear of failure.
Hey friends, frenemies, acquaintances, and haters, you too. Welcome to the Rebel Maker Podcast, where I, Marty Stotler, the Rebel Queen, your resident publishing maven, and serial entrepreneur, encourages rebellious behavior and rebellious action in women all across the globe. If you believe like I do, then you're in the right place. One, books change lives, women totally run the world. Collectively, we have all of the answers. And on a scale from one to you just read my damn mail, not chasing that burning desire deep inside you is equivalent to a warm beer on a hot day. This podcast is a rallying call for high-performing women like you with big vision and a bigger will to lock arms and source all the tools we need to succeed for ourselves, for each other, and for the world at large. So cheers, friend. Here's to shortening the learning curve and chasing down those dreams like our livelihood depends on it, because it kind of does. Elaine, thank you so much for being here with me today on the Rebel Maker Podcast. I have known for several years. We met, you were introduced to me through the Polkadot Powerhouse Networking Group, which has been like, it was an absolutely life-changing networking group. So for anybody listening that's looking for a networking group, absolutely check out Polkadot Powerhouse. And you will absolutely see Elaine in there. Let me just get started and read your bio so we can jump right into this, because like, you are full of juicy goodness.
Can't wait to share it all.
I know. I'm like, oh, yes, I was going over this application just as I was getting started and just refreshing myself. And I'm like, yes. So you started your first business in 2001. You were a scrapbook designer for hire, which is very interesting. I used to do creative memories.
Oh yeah, back in the day.
Yes. You added photography in 2009. You did that for 10 years, which is when I met you, you were still doing photography. And along the way, you started helping other business owners. You retired from that in 2019 and you started business consulting. While doing that, you realized how much you love helping businesses with their behind the scenes, and you started adding done-for-you services to your resume, which absolutely has landed you in your zone of genius. And I couldn't agree, because the thing that you do is so foreign and stressful to me that I love that you're doing that. So I'm just going to go ahead and give you the floor and just talk to me about your journey. And yeah, I'm super excited. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, my journey was interesting. That's for sure. Definitely interesting. And being able to step into my zone of genius, it took me a while to figure out what it was. And I think that I feel like there's people out there that think that they have to know it from the beginning. And that's not necessarily true. Like, it's going to take time. You got to go through the shit in order to find where you belong and where you fit in. And for me, I was trying to force myself to do something that I didn't really enjoy. I held on to photography longer than I should have because I was scared to venture into something else, starting new. What am I going to do? How am I going to make money? And I was just telling my son this on the car ride home. I picked him up from the airport on Saturday, and how like I'm making more money now than I ever did as a photographer.
Oh, yes. Congratulations.
What was I so scared of, right?
Did I see that you made six figures your first year doing business?
Yeah. So like after, I wouldn't say the first year, I was close, but because I didn't have my value yet, like figuring out how I could help people, I was terrified and was in scarcity mentality, which I think we all go through the first year of business, especially when you're trying something new. I knew how to help people, but I was afraid to actually put a higher price tag on what I did because I didn't feel worthy or qualified. Who the hell am I? Who's going to pay me all this money? I don't have fancy certifications. I don't have a college degree. I have street smarts.
Yeah.
And I have Pop Rocks. I have my intuitive Pop Rocks and street smarts. And it took me a while to figure that out. But once I stepped into that confidence, then I realized that was the first year that I accidentally made six figures.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Hey, and then it just kept going.
Yeah, no, good for you. And let me ask you this, because okay, so you said two things. Like, one, it took me a while to find my zone of genius, and mm-hmm. that didn't stop you from making moves. And I think sometimes women, especially, I think, get paralyzed from making decisions and moving forward because they think that everything should fit in this nice little pretty box and we should have it all together and we should already know what makes us come alive. And I'm finding more and more that as I talk to women business owners, that that's not necessarily the case. People are just staying open to pivoting, and in staying open to pivoting and not staying married to what you thought you were going to do and communicated that you were doing, that that's really what lands you. And the other thing that I wanted to say is that I actually wanted to ask you about this is you said when I stepped into that confidence, which is so huge because you can be shit at what you're doing, but if you're confident in it, like you can still make a shit ton of money doing that.
Yeah.
So talk to me about what was that like for you to mm-hmm. you and be confident in that?
Yeah. Like stepping into my confidence was really like proving that I knew what I was talking about, proving that I knew what I was doing. So my confidence grew when other people got the results that I had promised.
Yeah.
Then meeting other people's expectations is a huge thing for me. It's a huge fear that I have of disappointing other people. Ties that back to my childhood. Yeah. I know the exact moment when all that happened, but I realized that I don't have control over other people's feelings. And so the best way for me to avoid disappointing people is to set the expectations from the beginning. This is what I'm willing to do. This is what I expect from you. This is what you can expect from me. Boom, it's laid out. So that way, there's no miscommunications around, well, you said and you promised and whatever. It's the leading the horse to water situation, right? I can't promise that you're going to get massive results because you still have to do the work.
Yeah.
I realized along the way that people will sabotage me. So doing done for you work, because I take like the whole back end of their business and I recalibrate it and I streamline it and optimize and automate and all the things. And people will sabotage me because I'll tell them, okay, so this is what I need you to do. And then we meet the next week and they haven't done any of it.
Yeah.
And it's what's going on? And it's because the fear of, oh my God, she's actually making this a reality. They are no longer in their own way because I'm moving the ship along.
Yeah.
They're like, wait, time out. Like they want the thing. They really think they want the thing. But then when it comes to the put up or shut up, walk the talk.
Yeah.
Whoa, wait a minute. Like I'm scared here. Like this is uncharted territory because they've been able to sabotage themselves the entire time and make up excuses as to why they never got there. I didn't know how to do this. I didn't know. Well, now they're paying me to do it for them.
Yeah.
And now they will sometimes sabotage me. And so my rule of thumb has been this. I will not work with you if you do not have a coach. If you don't have a coach, I will be your coach. But you need to have support through this process. Otherwise, it's pointless of you to pay me to basically sabotage me.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So listen, that's actually really genius because you're right. And so when you're reconfiguring and recalibrating a business's back end and you're streamlining it to be more efficient, to put workflows in place, what you're really doing is you're helping these women level up in their business. And that is a very scary thing to do when it's facing you right there. Like every obstacle has been removed. You're doing the damn thing. Ouch.
Exactly. It's the new level, new devil, right? All of a sudden, if you think about your business as different levels, right? Every time you move up a step, now there's a new thing you got to figure out. And so once you figure out that thing, you move to the next step. Well, pretty soon you're in uncharted territory. And yeah. It's like the Jesus out of you. And what I've discovered is that there's a fear of success as fear of failure.
Yeah.
And also the fear of losing it all keeps people from going to that next level is because if I get up here, number one, how am I going to maintain that? And number two, what happens if it all crumbles and I lose everything? Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to stay small over here where in my comfort zone, in my bubble wrap, where I can't get hurt. I can't. So that constant, but they convince themselves that they're hustling towards this big thing, but they want it, but like, down inside, right? They are burning themselves out.
Yeah.
Trying to get to the thing, but they don't actually want the thing because the thing scares them. They convince themselves that's what they want. And I joke about this, but I do a lot of income goal setting and whatever. And I use the three levels and I talk about this. And I say, if you're putting down that you want to make $1 million, but you've never even made $750,000, what are you doing to yourself?
Yeah.
Like, how about we instead focus on incremental percentage increases? What would it look like if I made 20% more than I made last year? 50% more than it, right? Instead of, I want to make $1 million, because it allows them to continue in this cycle of hustle.
Yeah.
And to make $1 million. Like, you're setting yourself up for disappointment every single time.
Every single time. And listen, and here's the reality. When you have that large of a goal, that large of a gap into where you are and where you want to be, you are constantly hustling.
Yeah.
And listen, I've come to this place probably, I don't know, maybe the last 6 months, since I've been working with my coach. And I realize I have lived in this hustle culture. I'm a hustler. And then when I see that there are successful women out there who aren't living in freaking chaos of the hustle culture, I'm like, wow, you can be more successful and stay in this space of Zen, this peace where you're not hustling. And Elaine, I feel like you do the same thing. I love that your boundaries, in fact, I think I said this to you on a Facebook message one time. It was so impactful to me because I just didn't realize that we had a call. It was like, I don't know, a 15-minute call. And right at 15 minutes, you're like, okay, got to go. And I'm like, wow, it took me off guard because I'm like, wow, she really held her boundary. It took me off guard because I was not used to women holding those boundaries. And I love that.
Let me tell you why though, because I had another gal in the waiting room because I was doing back-to-back podcast episodes for that summit, right? So I had that hard stop where I was like, okay, like I'm doing 4 in an hour. Right? That requires really good boundaries and being able to lead someone to the conversation to close it out and say, let's catch up later, but I got to go.
I love that about you. And I had a conversation with my coach about that because I have clarity calls. I get on calls and it is very frequently that my calls are running over. And it's fine with me because I don't have anybody that I need to get to. It's fine with them because they're just like, yeah, I've got time too. But then that it's leaky. The conversation can get convoluted between business and personal. And now we're friends. And now I'm giving away the farm where other people are paying me for this. And I think too, that's something that women, and I'm not going to say all women, but I'm just generalizing here, that women aren't used to holding boundaries. They're not used to being very clear with what's going to happen and how it's going to happen. And you said that too. It's, hey, I'm really clear and I set the expectations right from the get-go. So there's no lack of communication. I'm like, yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Like boundaries is really, I learned early on, Brené Brown, one of my favorite authors, really set the tone for me about how I think about boundaries. Is really, what am I willing to participate in? It's either a hell yes or a hell no. And if it's not a hell yes, it's definitely a hell no. And you have to have that enthusiastic, yes, I'm willing to do that. Otherwise, when we don't have those boundaries and we don't honor the boundaries, we breed resentment. And I don't want to live in a space of resentment. And I wish I would have and regrets and whatever. And so it's really just, this is what I'm willing to do. What are you willing to do? That's what boundaries are. She gives a really good example of, you can be mad, but it's not okay for you to slam your hands on the table and like bring out that violence, right? Like you can be mad, but that's not okay. I'm not going to sit here and participate in that. I'm going to get up and walk out of the room. You'll make your choices, but I'm not going to engage.
Yeah. So question for you. So did you get resentful? Did you get resentful of not having proper boundaries in place?
I found myself being resentful when I realized that I wasn't charging enough money for all of the work I was doing.
Yeah.
And that made me go, I need to change this. And I realized that I was like, I basically, especially when I had a VA and she was helping me, I was paying her to help me. When I'm paying her more than the client paid me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this is not good. And so I had to significantly increase my prices to avoid feeling resentful that the amount of work that I'm doing is a lot. So I'm rebuilding your website. I'm redoing your branding. I'm setting up your CRM. I'm setting up every single automation and all of your email templates and all of the things. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And I'm not willing to take time away from my family for $100. I'm not willing to do that. Like, you got to come up with more than that to take me away from my family.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you increased your prices and you did it significantly, which, by the way, kudos to you. Good job. Did you have anybody come back and say, oh, you're just too expensive?
Well, I am a firm believer that expensive and cheap are subjective.
Yes, I agree.
And so I know that I'm not everybody's cup of tea. And there was a gal that I did a consult with, and she blatantly said, well, I'm going to shop around. And I told her, I said, well, just so you know, I'm going to be the most expensive option.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not going to discount myself for my prices in order to appease you or to win you, because I don't need that. Yeah. Because then I will feel resentful and it will not be a good energy exchange, because really money is just energy, right? And we're exchanging it, and I'm just not willing. I'm not to bend and break and work myself to death for less money. I'm not willing to do that. And so when that was an interesting moment for me, an interesting moment where I said, oh, by the way, just so you know, go ahead, go shop around. I am going to be the most expensive option. Yeah, you can absolutely go out there and hire somebody cheaper, but
you can always hire somebody cheaper.
Always go hire somebody cheaper, but what you're getting is an all-in-one service and a coach or consultant to go with it.
Yeah.
So like, I'm combining both of my superpowers into one for you. So go hire a coach and go for it. Be my guest. You have to have one to work with me. So it is a requirement. Either have a coach or I'm your coach, plain and simple.
No, I love that. So did she come back to you? Did she end up coming back?
No, it's okay. She's not my person. It's okay. Like, I had to realize that I'm not for everybody. I have people all the time. They're like, I just want the CRM. I'm like, here's my link. Go sign up. But you're not under me.
Yeah.
Because I am not selling just a CRM. I'm selling a service. I am providing you a service, hands-on service. And if you just want the tool is not the thing that I'm selling.
Yes. No, you're selling leveling up.
Yeah.
You are helping women level up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so much more than all of the, it's so much more than the tool. Like, the tool is a vehicle that I use, but that's not what I'm actually selling.
So let's talk about your books. I'm super excited. So you technically have three books.
Yeah.
Your first book, you were part of a anthology, My Walk, My Way. Hey, Rebels, I know you've been listening to The Rebel Maker for a hot minute, and you're probably listening for a couple reasons. One, you're thinking about writing a book. Two, you wrote the book and now you don't know what the hell to do with it. Or three, you need help marketing the book that you've already done because you're falling flat on sales. Great. I got just the thing for you. Go to the website, rebelqueen.co. Book a call with me. Here's what's going to happen. One, I'm going to give you an action plan for exactly what you need to do next. Whatever that next step is, writing it, publishing it, marketing it. And also, I'm going to give you an opportunity to ask any question that you have. Go to the website, rebelqueen.co. Book a call with me. So
that was not my, that was my third book.
Oh,
I actually have four. Really? I have four.
Let's go back. Which one was the first book that you did?
Getting Unfucked and Then Getting Naked.
Yes.
Right. And so I had to, my very first book, I called it The Girlfriend's Guide, and I got in trouble because I had no idea there was The Girlfriend's Guide. I looked up trademarks for all the other words, never even considered that The Girlfriend's Guide was a trademark situation. So I did get a nice little letter saying you can't use that anymore. And I was like,
cease and desist.
I'm so sorry. They were actually not rude or mean or anything like that, but I felt terrible. And so the second book I did was The Entrepreneur's Guide to Getting Unfucked, Getting Out of Your Own Damn Way and Getting Shit Done.
Yes.
And then the third one was the My Walk, My Way. And then the one that I just published in October was about mastering the customer experience with 265 strategies to leveling up your customer experience.
Yeah, I love that. And that was actually the summit that you just did as well.
Yeah. So I had the Elevate Your Customer Experience Summit that I did last summer. And then I have a new summit that I'm actually taking applications for right now for Elevate Your Coaching. So that one will be specifically targeting coaches and helping them. I want to help them. There's some funky going on in that industry. And I'm like, we got to fix that.
No, I love that because coaches are a dime a dozen. Everybody wants to be a coach. And there's a lot of people who say they're coaches and they should not be coaches. I just wanted to throw that out there. Yeah. So for anybody who's looking to hire a coach, make sure you're doing your due diligence. And if someone wanted to sign up for your summit, do they do that on your website?
Yeah. So right now, ElaineTurso.com doesn't have any information about the summit yet because I don't have all of the stuff together, but it will be ElevateYourCoachingSummit.com is where people will be able to register and attend. It's going to be on January 17th, 2024.
Okay. So this is actually really good timing then because this is going to drop in December, towards the end of December. So it's really good time.
Yeah. Really good time. Yep.
Hey, friends, while we were on the podcast, we were just talking about Elaine's next summit that's coming up called Elevate Your Coaching. And that summit link is live and ready for you to sign up. Go to elevateyourcoachingsummit.com. And also, Elaine did not discuss this while we were on the podcast, but she is giving away a free ebook. Listen, guys, go get it. It's free. The link is listed in the show notes. It is ElaineTurso.com/customer experience ebook with a dash in between those three words. So dash between customer experience and dash before ebook. Listen, this book is Mastering the Customer Experience. She gives you 265 strategies to building a customer-centric business. It includes what is your archetype. It talks about branding, website, automations, communication, the customer journey, the follow-up, onboarding new clients, lead attraction, client retention, reviews, referrals. She has thought of everything. 265 strategies, 40 implementation tips, and 20 steps to build a customer-centric business. Now back to the show.
So then let's specifically talk about like your writing and your publishing process. So, and I know one of the things that you said in here, like it was super helpful for you to outline it and structure your book. Can you talk about that? And also let's talk about this because I feel like your last book that you did, the Mastering the Customer Experience, that you did that fairly quickly.
Yeah, I did. I am a huge fan of repurposing content. And I put out a lot of content through storytelling or just the whatever thoughts come to my brain. I used to do a lot of teaching and teaching workshops and stuff like that all the time. I had workbooks and all of the things. And so what I started doing was I could transcribe those workshops and then turn that into a book, right? I can turn that into anything. And so I also was in full transparency. I know some people may hate this, but for my last book, I wanted to have scenarios. And so I went to ChatGPT and I said, give me a before and an after example of a business struggling with this. And they implemented this. What were the results? Because I was like racking my freaking brain for examples of the various types of businesses out there, because I know who I work with. I wanted examples that somebody else could, like a coffee shop. I don't have experience running a coffee shop. I've never coached anybody or consulted with anyone who has a coffee shop, but there may be people that want to read a book and it has an example that they can relate to. And so I utilized that tool in every chapter to provide an example of a before and after of a business did this, and then this is how they were able to improve their customer experience by changing this one thing.
Yeah. Okay. So listen, let's just talk about that ChatGPT for a second, because it is amazing, and it is amazing for writers. Listen, there are a lot of people out there who talk about writer's block. So listen, I don't actually think that writer's block is a thing. I think that if you start writing about something of which you do not know, of course you're going to have writer's block because you don't know what the hell you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
ChatGPT is a fabulous way to plug in to say, hey, this is, I need inspired on something here. Like, I need some help with this.
Yes.
It's freaking genius.
I know. Last week, one of my clients who is an author and an author coach, and she has a retreat coming up in March. And I was like, you know what? She's like, I really want to do a Black Friday sale. And I'm like, okay, well, we've got 7 days and I want you to start priming your audience to basically to prepare for this offer. So let's talk about creativity. And I'm like, let's go to ChatGPT and say, give me 7 prompts that I can use, questions that I can ask an audience on Facebook about creativity. And it came up with more than, she was like,
oh,
I thought about that one before, right? So use it as a tool, not as a replacement. Like, it is a tool to generate ideas or thoughts and go, I hadn't considered that before. And considered that option before. And she's doing it and getting great engagement on her post because she's asking an engaging question about creativity.
Yes.
Like, absolutely.
Yes. Good for her. And listen, it is no different than reading some random person's post on Facebook and getting inspired to write your own, because we do that. Like, how often are we like scrolling Facebook? We see something and you're like, going to stop me. I actually have another spin on this. And this is something that I want to talk about. You use it as inspiration to create your own thing. Like, I don't think ChatGPT is supposed to be a copy and paste thing. I don't think anybody should use it that way, but I absolutely think that you should use it as a resource for inspiration.
Absolutely. And I've discovered a tool recently that I really also really like. It's called Magi, magai.co. And you can have it act as like a persona. So you can have a copywriter, you can have an assistant, you can have a rapper, you can have legal. There's all these different personas that you can choose from, and it will like whatever. The other tool that I also really love that's an AI tool is Opus. And what that will do is if you have like long form video, it will chop it up into 30-second to 1-minute videos and give you a virality rate to go with it. And so then you literally can take long form videos that you've done and chop them up into like, because I love TikTok. That's where I hang out the most.
Yes.
Of content, it'll split it up for you. And I'm like, do you realize like how much time that saves me? Like, so much time.
The gift that you gave me, because we're recording this on video.
Yeah.
But I've not done anything with the video. Just because I don't want to upload them in its entirety to YouTube, because I want them to be consumed. But holy shit.
Right. Well, then you'll also love my other one is, it's not really an AI tool, but it uses AI, is called Descript. You can upload a video to it. And this is what I love about it. Are you ready? I'm about to blow your mind.
Yeah.
Blow your mind. So you can transcribe the video and then you can remove words from the transcription. It will also remove the word from the video.
No shit. So if there's people that are like,
Since I say a lot, I literally search the word and say remove all, and it will instantly remove me saying in the video at the same time. Are you effing kidding me?
It's so genius. And by the way, I love that you're this like techie woman.
I love it.
Here, let me give you all the things because I'm not a techie woman.
I love it.
I hand my phone to my 6-year-old grandson and I'm like, can you fix this?
Yeah.
And he can.
Yeah, I know. They don't have the same blocks that we do.
No.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I have to ask, are you writing any more books? And are you going to use this ChatGPT for future books? And how are you going to use it differently?
I don't know. So I don't currently have any books up my sleeve because I haven't even really marketed the one that I just wrote. Because my books are still with my friend Estimilva mail me all my copies because I had them at Celebration. And so I'm like, because I don't want just people just go on Amazon. Like, I would rather have the physical books that I can mail to people. So I need those. And then I feel like I can go full on promo. But yeah, so like when I wrote the other books, like I said, I love to repurpose content. And so the very first book I did, I actually collected other women's stories talking about body image and stuff like that, because it was about self-love. And at the time I was still a boudoir photographer. And so I was trying to give pep talks to other women who maybe couldn't afford to come and have a photo shoot. I was trying to help them gain their confidence. And the second book for entrepreneurs, basically what I did was I took a lot of my blog posts that I had written and started breaking them up into little chapters, and then added, everything I do has workbook. I love workbooks.
Practical application.
Yeah. Like, I want them to be able to read and then write and do the exercise, like actually implement something. So even in the last book that I just did, I have a couple pages in there that are like fill in your own, fill in the blanks kind of thing. What's going to work for you? And I feel like writing things is very, it helps cement the idea, right? Write it down. Don't just let it live in your head. Write it down.
There's studies behind that. There is studies behind actually physically putting pen to paper and writing it out.
Yes. I save all of my notebooks. I have a big...
Me too.
Under my desk over here that is literally full of every notebook that I've ever had. I can't throw them away because I will not remember a week ago. So I need to have all of that because my brain is like in and out. It's done. Move on to the next. Yeah. I need to have that history of what I was thinking. Or a lot of times I'm like, oh, look at that. I've already had this idea.
I am such a genius.
I just found this whole thing on my computer. I've already done the work for this. What the hell? That happens to me all the time.
I love that.
I know. I'm like, oh, look, I already did the work.
Yeah. So I also have like visual recall.
Uh-huh.
And I also love colored pens. So I will remember, I'm like, okay, I know I wrote that down somewhere. And I can visually see that piece that I just got to start flipping through notebooks. And I'm like, yep, there it is. I knew where it was. It's so weird.
Yeah. Like I do the same thing with my, which notebook would it have been in? And then I like, yeah. So, but I also enjoy like going back and rereading stuff to see like what I was doing and where I was at and things like that.
Yeah. In fact, I tell people a lot, I'm like, you know what, if you are concerned about writing this book, like I said, I'm guessing that if you journal, your book is already written.
Yeah.
You need to go back and extract the pieces to that.
Yeah. Absolutely. I also used the sticky note method, and I had literally all of my like chapters on sticky notes. And I remember I showed up to a call one time and nobody else had shown up except this one gal. And I had all my sticky notes on my desk and she was just like, let's just go through it. Let's just do it right now. Cause I was struggling with the order of this, of like how I wanted everything to be, like what order I wanted. Cause it has to make sense in my brain. I think part of that is my wedding photographer brain, where I had to put the photos in order of how it actually happened. I can't start with cake cutting because that's not how it happened. It has to start in order. And so I'm really weird when it comes to even my summits. I'm like, no, we have to start with mindset before we can go to marketing. Like, you got to start at the foundation and then work your way up.
Yeah, no, it totally makes sense. And with books as well, when I'm talking to my authors about that organization piece, I'm like, listen, outline it out, structure it out, and then take your client on the journey. What do they need to know first? What do they need to know second?
Yes, exactly. So we literally sat here and organized all of my sticky notes. And then I was like, okay, now it makes sense to me.
So can you just do me a favor? Can you talk about the sticky note method?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I put all of the like the chapters or the titles or like little bullet points on each sticky note. And I literally used my closet door to like organize and like what chapter, what topics were going to be in each chapter, and then what prompts or exercises, writing tool, whatever. I had it all listed out and I used color-coded sticky notes. So I had the chapter title in one color, and then I would have other little topics in the chapter, and then I would have the prompts on another color so that it would just made sense in my brain. It was like a color coding a Google Calendar. I have to have a color coded Google Calendar. And so that helped tremendously. And then I literally was just like, okay, so I knew like how I wanted the chapters to be ordered, but it was the topics within the chapters that really was throwing me for a loop and really figuring out what do they need to learn first before they need to know this before they can go to this. And so I do best when I need a talk it out buddy for a lot of things. Even just decorating my office, I was working on this yesterday. I was like sending pictures to my daughter going, should I do this or should I do this? Because I need like someone else to help me see what I can't see. I'm a huge fan of having a talk it out buddy or business bestie. And that's what you do is you check in on each other and you talk things out when you need it. And having that person say, is that really in alignment with you? Are you sure that's really what you want to do? Because you told me that doesn't feel like it's in alignment. And you're like, you're right. Okay. Thank you. I needed someone to talk me out of doing something that I knew I didn't really want to do, but I thought I had to do. Having a business bestie, super important. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, can we talk about the business bestie for a second? I feel like I've touched on this a couple times in different podcasts here, but I think it's so, 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 so important because we tend to trust those pieces of ourselves with people that we want to trust, but really they are untrustworthy because like they're squashing us, they're squashing our dreams. So there is a fine balance to be had with someone who has your best interest at heart and truly is a supporter of you and your dreams and what you're doing, and also providing those bumper lanes, like the bumper walls on the bowling lane to just kind of keep you in check with what you're doing. Yeah. So was it difficult for you to find that person?
I found them in Polkadot.
Yeah.
Found them in Polkadot. And so Paige Engel is my business bestie, and her and we are texting and calling each other all the time. Just pick up the phone and you call and say, I have this thing, or I need this help, or I'm having a bad day, or whatever it is. And just knowing that person is going to hold space for you and talk you off the ledge when you need it. And all the ups and the downs and the celebrations and the sadness and all of the things that happen in life, it's not just like about business, because you're a person first and a business comes secondary. Your family comes first and then business comes secondary. So if those foundations, that personal and family foundations are not well, it can and will affect your business. And so you got to make sure that you have somebody that you can trust wholeheartedly. But it has to be, in my mind, a reciprocal sort of relationship. So it's not just take, what are you also giving? So you have to have that give and take established, right? So first we called ourselves accountability partners, is how we started. And then it started just transforming into now we're like inseparable best friends, because you learn so much about each other through that accountability process and learning what someone's goals and dreams are. And you want them to succeed. And also, the thing I think that helped us so much is that we are yin and yang on the Enneagram. So she's an 8 with a 3. I'm a 3 with an 8. And so having those personality, it literally is a match made in heaven. And so you have to find somebody that you have that sort of, that makes sense, where you both have those similarities, but the opposite end of the spectrum is also really helpful. So the fact that I have an 8 in my wing, but 8 is her primary, I can't even tell you how amazing it is to have somebody that truly understands you.
Yeah. And balances you out.
It's so amazing. Absolutely amazing. And you can't force it. This has to be organic. And like I said, you start out as accountability partners or something, and then see where it goes, and see, you got to build up that trust, and it takes time. But once you find that person, you just never let them go, and you go to Paris together, and that's the kind of things that we do. And it's just, I trust her with my life.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that you went to Paris with your business bestie.
I know.
I'm like,
I know.
My business bestie. Why have we not gone to Paris?
I know. Call Paige. That's your girl.
I love it.
Yeah.
So I want to ask you this. Your books that you've done, The anthology is like a different like beast when you're...
That was very challenging for me.
But it is so good. Listen, yeah. I liken anthologies to podcasts because you're opening yourself up to all of the other authors' yeah. audiences
yeah.
when you're participating in an anthology. So with all of your book experiences that you've had, how has it helped you as an individual? How has it helped your business? And what doors have they opened?
I would say being an author multiple times, I've always just, yeah, whatever. Like, I don't know. I just have a nonchalant attitude about it where it's not like the thing that I know is going to help catapult me in any way, shape, or form. But I found it to be really fun. And especially when I had my middle fingers on the covers of the books, it allowed other women to, they're like, let's take a selfie and let's flip the camera off together. And they just like, it gave them permission to step into their authentic self because that is my authentic self. Like, I did not write this book for my mother. In fact, I didn't want my mother to read the book. So the best way for me to do that was to put my middle fingers on the cover and have the F word in the title. And so I was like, I'm not writing this for her. I'm writing this for every other woman out there who is ready to just freaking throw in the towel and just needs to let it all out and just scream it out. And I just found it to be really cathartic. And hearing other people reach out and say, your book really helped me. I'm like, one person, that my goal is always one person a day, one impact person a day.
And to like the gravity
yeah.
of someone else reading the words, because listen, being an author is very vulnerable. You yeah. are putting yourself out on Front Street for someone, and to know that you did that, that you overcame that fear or whatever obstacle it was, but it touched one person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just one. That's all I need. I'm not out there trying to make millions of dollars on books. That's not, it's just kind of a, like, hey, I need to get all of my thoughts out. Like, how is the best way for me to do that? And I literally spent $0 doing it because I just published on Amazon. I didn't hire anybody fancy. I didn't do any of that because it was just like, I just need a place to get my thoughts out.
Yeah.
And I used photos of myself that I had taken, had no idea at the time that I was going to use them for a book cover. That was never in my...
Imagine that.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the cool things about the anthology was that I had shared about the anthology, like there was going to be spots opening up and it, because I was doing it, someone else felt comfortable to join
yeah.
and say, I'm going to share my story too. And her story really, she was like scared to tell it, but wound up finding the courage. Okay, if Elaine can tell her story, I can tell my story. And that's the amazing part is that we can link arms and do it together. We'll be scared together. We can do it.
Yeah. So one of the things that I said, and up until yesterday, because I reworded it a little bit, but like vulnerability breeds vulnerability. Bravery inspires bravery. So yeah, I totally agree. It's super exciting. Okay. I'm going to wrap up here, but I just need to ask you one thing. If you could impart the best of Elaine, mm-hmm. to anybody who's hearing this, if there's just one person that could capture this and be inspired, what would you tell them?
One of my favorite quotes that I have sitting right here, nothing changes if nothing changes. You can continue doing it the way you've always done it, and that's okay. But if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, something has to change. And be open to when you tell the universe that you want something, the universe doesn't have a timeline. And so you need to notice when those opportunities show up and you need to have the courage to say yes, because it's what you asked for. So if you want to get a different result, you have to be willing to do something different and try something different, even if it scares the shit out of you, because you can do hard things.
Absolutely. Elaine, I love chatting with you. And listen, I know you said you don't necessarily have another book up your sleeve. And it's rare that I tell people this. I do think that there is a book inside of everyone, but I really would love for you to consider doing a memoir or memoir-esque, because I think that you're like level 5 badassery in your journey. I think you have a lot that you can impart into others. And I think you should consider it. I know some really great memoir writers.
Well, that's, I know. It's one of those things that it forces me to go, what the hell would anybody care about my story? Oh. So girl, it's a real thing. Yeah. It's a real thing for people. It's like, why would anybody care?
Yeah. No, people care. People want to know. Even if it's like nosy Nancy down the street, people want to know. They want to know all of the things.
I know. We love the drama, don't we?
Hashtag Kardashians. Like, just use that on my daughter this morning. I'm like, I know you think you're a Kardashian. However,
yeah,
I love it. Okay. So listen, so if you want to connect with Elaine, you can do that at elainetursow.com. And it's E-L-A-I-N-E. Turso is T-U-R-S-O. com. You can find her on Instagram and Pinterest at Elaine Turso. Facebook, she is Elaine the Brain Turso. So definitely connect with her. If you're in the coaching space, she's got this absolutely beautiful summit coming up and she does them well. Also, I'm just going to throw the shameless plug in there that if you have considered doing your own summit, absolutely reach out to Elaine because you can help people get their own summits set up. And yes, I am going to be doing a summit here. I've thought about it. It hasn't fully come together yet, but I'm reaching out as soon as I do.
It's
amazing. So
love that.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
I hope your day's fabulous. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye, honey.
Friend, thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Rebel Maker, where I not only support but also encourage rebellious behavior, rebellious action, and doing the thing that no one thought you could do. Hell yes to you. If you're digging what you're hearing, finding inspiration, and actionable items for your next step, then please do all the things. Subscribe, share me with your besties, and send me a message. I'd love to chat. Cheers to your success.